Off Hollywood Media presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, resonating a vibration of love, laughter, and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you have never felt before. Life changes. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone, and thank you, Mark, for that. Laughter? That's a new one. I like that. What did you say? Actually, what was it? Something about laughter? What about laughter?
Love, laughter, and understanding.
Love, laughter, and understanding. All right, well, we got a lot to live up to here, so thank you for setting that up for us. I am so excited because today we've got a really special guest who's, I imagine, not easy to get, but I'm so grateful that he chose to be on our show. His name is Fred Burks, and he's been an interpreter to some really powerful people in the world and been privy to some interesting information. So can't wait to get into that when we bring him on in just a few minutes here. But before we do that, you know, I was all set to talk about something, and then something happened today. As many of you know, I don't want to put it on the show. Let's just say I have had internet issues, website issues, and a hard drive and computer issues. And so as some of you may remember, the main computer hard drive crashed several months ago. We thought we had everything saved in some computer in the sky, and that did not end up being the case. And so it's been one thing after another, and it's been life-changing here at Life Changes. And frankly, as we've shared some of the stories along the way, so many people have had so many interesting things happen, and we've gotten so many comments and compliments, actually, on how we've handled the situation. And I've even posted some things up on Facebook myself, and it's really been a growing experience. I almost said wonderful. I'm not there yet. It has been a growing experience, and I've very much learned from it and learned to be more in the now and allow what is supposed to happen. And that's mainly what I wanted to share with you today, because finally, though we'll never recoup all the information, and maybe we didn't need it, that was on the hard drive, that's not recuperable. And our website is finally up, or it was going to be last week, our new website after several months. And then the service provider evidently did something wrong and kept us down another week. So since they're closed during the weekend, I called this morning and I was on hold for about a half hour. And then I finally got through to somebody, and I'm having a conversation with somebody who's not understanding what it is that we're trying to accomplish. I don't know what's so hard to accomplish, to understand. We want to get our website on the internet so other people can see it. In any event, so this gentleman kept having to go back and forth and talking to other people and coming back and saying, it's not our problem, it's not on our end, it's on your end. And that was the conversation. Finally, he had me on hold one more time, and at this point, over an hour had gone by. And I was trying to do this myself because I thought, you know, why let anybody else deal with this frustration? I've gotten so good at it. Let me do it. So here I am doing it. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call. And ironically, it was Dorothy Lee, one of our producers. And I thought, if I answer this call, he might come back, the service provider, while I'm on hold talking to Dorothy, and he might hang up. And I don't want to lose him after an hour and something. So I almost didn't answer the call, but I thought, maybe Dorothy has something important to ask me. And so I answered the call. And I told her, I'm on the phone, and she said, okay, real quickly, blah, blah, blah. And it was something not that important. And so I switched back right away, and the line had dropped. And I thought, ah! I thought, okay, wait a minute. Especially since it was Dorothy. I said to myself, maybe there's a reason. There's got to be a reason, because Dorothy called with something seemingly not that important. I answered the call, and the line got dropped. So the guy either came back or accidentally the line got dropped, whatever it was. And why is this happening? Maybe this is happening for a good reason. And so I tried to believe that, and I dialed the number again for the service provider. And this time I got somebody right away, and it was a young lady, and I told her what the problem was, and she said, oh, yes, I know what you need to do. And in 5 minutes, we resolved the problem together, and the website was finally up. And I thought, wow, the old me would have gotten really angry at life for having done this to me after an hour and something on the phone, would have said to Dorothy, don't call me with silly things, and would have maybe just dropped everything and said, obviously, it's not supposed to be now or something. And instead, I said, maybe this is the best possible scenario. And it's interesting because as I am trying to learn these things, on my end, I've been trying to teach my friends on the other end, and finally they're coming together. It's all coming together, and I'm starting to get it, because I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who was telling me how awful things are. And the awful things were money and business and, you know, things that when people die, they don't say, I wish I would have made more money, or I wish I would have started another business. They say things like, I wish I would have spent more time with my friends, or time with my family, or I wish I would have loved more, or deeper, or stronger, whatever. But things like that. And so he was complaining about business and money, and I said, yeah, but what about other things in your life? And he said, oh, yeah, love is great, friends are great, yeah, things are, I mean, that's all good. But he went back to the other thing. And I said to him, sounds to me like you're batting 1,000, only you're looking at the wrong scoreboard. And I think we've been so used to looking at the wrong scoreboard that's being shown to us by somebody who has an agenda, quite possibly, that wants us to not feel good about ourselves, so we might buy more products to make us slimmer or quote-unquote prettier or whatever it may be, or addicted to something. And so we've been hitting these balls and feeling like, hey, I'm doing good. And then we're shown this other scoreboard, and we think, oh, I guess I wasn't doing that well. And so we start to believe the wrong scoreboard, and we try to measure ourselves by that scoreboard. And in actuality, we'll never do well on that scoreboard. And it's because it's not meant to be that way. We're not made that way. And if you do well on that scoreboard, then you won't need to buy product, or you don't need to feel bad about yourself. So we need to really figure out what our scoreboard is that we really want to measure ourselves by. And then let the world try and catch up with us. And also take a moment to say, this scoreboard, this moment, this situation might be the perfect, most exact situation that I need to be the best me I could be. Like my example with the website service provider. And I feel really good about sharing all that with you all. It feels really good, and I'd love to hear people's comments, emails, Facebook, everywhere that you all connect with us, as far as what your new scoreboard is, or if you've already been measuring yourself by the scoreboard that's important to you, what that is, so some of us can learn from you as well. Well, speaking about learning from people, Our next guest learned from what we would consider some people that are putting out a scoreboard, actually. Come to think of it, I never made the connection. This is perfect. We're putting out a scoreboard that might not necessarily be the one that we want to live by or want to measure ourselves by. And he now is helping people around the globe understand the truth, or at least presenting facts about some of the things that are going on, some of the illusion of the wrong scoreboard or the other scoreboard, just to use that analogy. And he's giving us an opportunity to see that maybe we need to stop looking at that. Let me tell you a little bit more about him. Fred Burks is his name, and his greatest passion is the expansion and transformation of consciousness in ourselves and on our planet. Sound familiar? That's what Life Changes is all about, and we're so happy that we're aligned today. Before resigning from his professional career with the U.S. Department of State in 2004 due to excessive secrecy demands, Fred served for 18 years as a language interpreter for hundreds of fascinating individuals from all walks of life, including such notable figures as Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Al Gore, and Dick Cheney. In his work, Fred participated in numerous secret meetings where only the key players and their interpreters were allowed. So you can imagine, after receiving a wealth of eye-opening information on major cover-ups from respected friends and colleagues and things that he had gleaned himself, Fred was inspired to develop the popular website wanttoknow.info in the late 2002, and it has grown with so many people reading it across the globe, and also so many other websites have spawned up, or he has put together after that. And we'll talk about that, but let's, without further ado, bring on Fred Burks.
Hi, Filippo. Great to be here, and great to have all of your listeners here.
It's going to be interesting for all of them, but for me as well, I have to say. You know, Fred, I had notes of what I wanted to talk with you about on the show, and then you and I had a conversation before the show, and I figuratively threw all my notes up in the air and said, forget it. I mean, there's just so much that you have to offer here, and I to me, the logical place to start, and it was the burning question in my mind, is that you were privy to secret conversations, and so what seemed to me you were doing now was breaking your oath for the good of all. And I asked you if you had a moral problem with the breaking of the oath, or if there was a problem with legality. And you said something very interesting to me. Please share it with the audience.
Sure. What I said is that it's a good example of what happens in government, because the truth is I had never signed any secrecy oaths, and I was interpreting for the president, which is crazy. I thought they ought to have some sort of a secrecy oath for people who are interpreting at these top levels. Here I am in secret meetings, and I haven't even been sworn to secrecy. But then what happened, crazily enough, is they came down with a new contract for all interpreters that went from nothing, no secrecy, to incredibly excessive secrecy. The new contract said anything you see, hear, or do in the course of your work, you may never share with anyone without the written permission of your supervisor, unless it's been made public knowledge. That's just crazy. You know, I hear a wonderful, inspiring story from, or a joke from one of my people that I'm working with, and I can't share it with anybody. Or if I'm out of town in a certain place, I can't call home and tell anybody where I am without written permission of my supervisor. So that was crazy, and it started a whole round of negotiations. And finally, the word came down, you must sign the contract, or you may not work with us. And so I said, okay, I'm afraid I have to resign.
You know, talk about weak links. I mean, there's secrecy throughout all of the government. And then when they sit down to have these secret meetings, they bring in people who don't have to be sworn to secrecy. You baffled me just in that alone.
Well, I realize that it's changed now after 2004. Now, everybody has those high levels of secrecy, but before that, yes, it was crazy. I can tell you there's all sorts of holes in security. Security has to look like it's impenetrable. That's the important thing, what you really get. It's all about a show, and you get everybody to believe that it's impenetrable, and then nobody tries. But the truth is, there's many holes in security all over the place.
Well, I feel safe now. And actually, I say that jokingly, and yet I do feel safe because there are people like you out there that are taking the secrets and doing something important with them, and that is sharing them with the people so that it's in the people's hands, and we can collectively do something important. So as you know, our show is about positive change, and mm-hmm. So I want to look at whatever we're going to talk about today from that angle, and you actually, that's what you're about.
Yeah, let me just share a quick little story that's right along these lines. So my deepest commitment my entire adult life has been to do my best to choose what's best for all. I'm really in service to all beings, and that's where I live my life from. And this has led to many, many miracles, among them that I got moved up the ranks in, without even trying. I mean, I didn't even want to become an interpreter. That was never in my mind, but things happened, and boom, boom, next thing I know, I'm an interpreter at the State Department. And I was very good right off, and I thought, God, if I, you know, just put some energy and effort into this, maybe I could move up the ranks. But I said, you know what? My spiritual life is more important. I don't want to put that much energy into interpreting. So I just let it go. But next thing I know, boom, 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 I find myself in the White House. It's like, okay, well, now I know why I'm here. And the reason I was there in the White House, I absolutely knew, was to connect with the hearts of everybody that I was working with and invite them to open their hearts to the global heart, to all people of the planet, and really to invite in the energy, maybe even channel the energy of what's best for all beings and let that presence be there in these meetings. So it was just obvious to me that's why I had been placed there.
Excellent. And so with some people believing that certain things are kept secret for the sake of national security, some of these things are really kept secret for the sake of a few to benefit. And
absolutely.
So you're bringing that to light, and you're doing it in a positive way to help people see that the world that we live in isn't what we believe.
Well, it's like the two scoreboards you talked about. You know, there's the scoreboard that you might call the spiritual scoreboard, which is kind of hidden inside of each one of us. And then there's a scoreboard that the media, government, everybody else wants us to look at. It says, how successful are you? How rich are you? How pretty is your partner or good looking? And all these different things that really, as you said, when you die, you look back and none of that really means much at all. But what really matters is what kind of difference did we make in our lives? How much deep, meaningful connection do we have? How many people's lives did we touch? How much did we grow ourselves?
You're speaking my language and that of our listeners and you know, and even of the skeptical people that are out there that hear some of what we have to share and then after say, well, I don't disagree with that, you know, and I feel like we've had a victory and we're making headway here. You know, the most popular of your sites, as we were talking about, is wanttoknow.info, and that's where a lot of the quote-unquote juicy stuff is. Actually, there's another site as well. But in other words, the conspiracy stuff or things that they don't want you to know, right? That kind of thing.
Right. We avoid the word conspiracy because it has such a negative connotation, so you'll hardly find that word on the website. We prefer to use things like major cover-ups or deep politics. But yes, it is stuff in the realm of conspiracy theories. But the difference is that we have reliable, verifiable information that anybody can go and independently check through all the links. We have links to government documents. We have links to major news websites that report this stuff. And it's oftentimes key news that should have been page one in newspapers worldwide, but it's buried. And it's there on their website, but it's buried. And so we bring it right to the front where it should be and allow people to go and check it and then follow the links and read it on the original websites.
And for you, this is kind of step one. It's actually interesting, excuse me, to those who are interested or need to know in order to get to step two or the next level. where the important stuff is, which is what we need to do and what we need to do about it, right?
Yes. Well, you know, wantToKnow.info is focused on giving, revealing, empowering information so that we can make better decisions to build a better world. But we do have a few things on there that are also about here's what we can do about it, here's how we can change it. If you go to the website, wantToKnow.info, on the left-hand side, there's a column going down. About halfway down the column, there's a link that's titled A Brighter Future. And that is what I believe is the best summary that we have that lays it out in just two pages. Here's what's going on, and here's what we can. Here's how we're already changing it. Here's how we're already transforming our world and mm-hmm. what we can further do to support that.
I like that, and I've been there. And actually, the analogy that came to me out of that is that if you have a friend in front of you that just was in an accident or something and is bleeding to death and dying, you just standing there saying, wow, he's bleeding to death and dying. Look at
right,
that.
Bless gash. Him, and this is all part of the natural flow of the universe. Like, that's not going to be very helpful.
But we could say, okay, he's bleeding to death and dying, now let's do something. You know, we let's not look at who's to blame and you know, he shouldn't have been, or we're here now. And
right.
we love this person, and let's save him. So we're here now. Do we love our country? Do we love our fellow man? Do we love our world? So let's do something about it, right, Fred?
Yes, and I would say the analogy for me doesn't quite fit only because I don't see the world as in a dying condition and bleeding. Actually, I see that this is all a natural part of the unfolding of divine reality. And yes, each of us does... I think it will serve us to play our part and do what we believe is best to help transform the world. But I actually don't feel the sense of urgency that so many people, especially the conspiracy theorists, feel. I am able to see the beauty and the purpose, and at least not always understand it, but most of the time, and see that there's a greater reason for everything that happens.
Fred, I am laughing right now because you and I talked about that, and we both agreed we weren't going to talk about it on the radio, but I knew I was going to.
You did.
I did.
Oh, yeah, I can't help but bring it up.
Me neither. I knew it would come up eventually. I mean, we just, our intention was good, but our higher power said, no, it needs to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And why does it need to go there?
Well, I think it's important. I mean, I get who your audience is, and you know, when I do quite a few radio interviews and podcasts and all, but your audience understands resonance, understands transformation, and all this kind of stuff. So I feel no problem in just bringing it right out.
Well, and interestingly enough, we talked about you and I how a couple of our listeners have written us saying, you need to talk about these problems in the world and those problems and that kind of thing. And I've shared with them personally on Facebook and other in emails and stuff saying, you know, there are shows that handle that. We are of the belief that where we put our energy, that expands. So we want to focus on the good that we could do. And of course they're saying, oh, you know, you're part of the problem. You can't sugarcoat it. And in conclusion of this, I said to one of them in particular, when was it that you woke up to the fact that this is going on? And they said, you know, I've known for a couple years. And I said, well, I've known for over 15, if not 20 years. And so since then, I've woken up to other facts. And I'm not saying that I'm better than you, because I'm looking ahead saying, what have I not awoken to yet?
Mm-hmm. There's many layers and levels to reality, you know, and the deeper you go, the more you open your hands to the mystery and go, okay, I surrender. But then from that place of surrender, you can also powerfully create.
Absolutely. So we were talking about how sometimes two best friends get into certain situations that seem devastating. But because you love each other, you get through it and you figure out that if it wasn't because of that love, if they weren't your best friend, you wouldn't have gotten to that next level.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say that these people that are holding up this scoreboard are not our best friends to help us wake up, right? That's where we were going.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we have another website that's a very different flavor called the Moment of Love. It's momentoflove.org. And it starts out with this simple statement. Every person in the world has a heart. And if you really let that sink in and really think about it, every person in the world has a heart. Dick Cheney, George Bush, Henry Kissinger, they all have hearts. Hitler had a heart. And if you really remember that, you know, they were once children, you know, laughing and playing, and circumstances led them to who they are, and it's all part of a divine play, you can take it, so you talked about, you know, how there's the different levels, and you take it to another level, and suddenly it's all seen in a different light that can be really quite inspirational in the long run.
Hmm. Like the parent who takes a knife away from a kid, the kid doesn't understand.
Right.
But then
you know, I think it's really important, as you said, you know, when somebody is bleeding or a kid has a knife in their hand, you've got to do the right thing and stop any violent behavior that's really going to disempower people. And yet you can do that with love. It's easy to think of with a kid, like it's your own child who's got a knife and is playing with it, might hurt themselves. You take or say, you say no, but you know you're full of love for that being. It's much harder when it's, you know, a George W. Bush or Henry Kissinger to do what you can to stop that behavior, but then still, can you support that this is a divine being playing its own divine role in the play?
Hmm.
I actually worked as a psychiatric nurse for a number of years, and I worked on with adolescents and even young kids sometimes, and we'd have kids that would just go completely out of control, were doing anything they could to harm anybody around them, spitting, biting, kicking. And we'd, sometimes they'd be so out of control, we'd literally have to do what we call a takedown and, you know, put their four arms and legs in restraints until they could be calm again. And yet, it was amazing. I worked with some people that had this ability, as I did, that we could actually hold love in our hearts as these kids were spitting in our face and trying to bite and kick. And it was good practice for me to really see the divinity in all people, even those who are terribly wounded.
You know, Fred, you bring something to mind that I've never understood, and I have a feeling you might have an answer for me, but the turn the other cheek thing I never did like.
Right.
Is that what this is?
Well, you know, it's not turn the other cheek. For me, it's like if somebody hits you, you stop the violence. I would not turn the other cheek. I would look them in the eye, hold their arms, and invite them to see a reflection. You know, that, you know, and then invite myself to also really see the wounded being behind this behavior.
And then if they don't see the reflection, then you hit them?
Right.
You know, I'm really excited at this moment because I have come to the realization that we are truly living our truth here and practicing what we preach and being the change we wish to see in the world, because you were with two presidents and two vice presidents, and you were in meetings where there was were secrets being told about all these things that we want to know, and yet we're not really focusing on that. We're not really caring. We're talking about love, for God's sakes. What's happened to us?
Well, see, this is the fun, exciting thing I can tell you. There is a great spiritual conspiracy going on, and there's some great writings even about it, and we have a couple of those on our websites. And the spiritual conspiracy is this. It's like the collective consciousness of the planet realized that we've gotten ourselves into a bind, and they sent out a call for help. And that call to help went out to the universe, and I truly believe that there's all these beings from other planets, other dimensions, who responded to that call, who've actually come in and incarnated as human beings, and they are here helping in many ways, and they're showing up all over in places that you would never suspect. For instance, you know, me showing up in the White House, I have other friends who are doing other amazing stuff, playing with key players on the planet, and they're quietly helping people to see how much more alike we are than anybody would think, how much we're all one human family. And so the conspiracy is that, you know, there is this whole transformation team, both of people who I think may come from other places and people from on this planet, who are quietly, there's no need for a big fanfare, helping to transform our planet to a more loving, kind place to live.
Wow. I feel good about you having been at the White House, and it reminds me of a friend of mine who was sharing a story with me, and tears were coming to her eyes as she did, because she was asked to speak at the White House and as well. And she said that when she went in, as she went through security, she was pulled aside by some security guard, and she said she got very frightened because he took her into an area where nobody could see them. And she said he opened up his shirt, and he was wearing some kind of a medicine bag with crystals. And
awesome! That's so great.
And how he recognized her, I don't know. Or
isn't
maybe
that great? Well, I'll tell you, I've had many little experiences like that. I had weird things. Andrew Carr, the George Bush's chief of staff one time, I'd never even talked to the guy, but he saw me at a meeting. He came over and said, "I'm so glad you're here." It's like, whoa, okay, great, thank you. It's like, I wonder sometimes if they're giving inside information on who some of the folks are around. Another time I was, I didn't hide. I became aware of all the big cover-ups in 2001. And after that, whenever I would be working, I didn't quit the State Department until 2004. And people, I said, so like, what do you do when you're not interpreting? And I said, well, I do big work in exposing major government cover-ups. And I would tell this to State Department people, anybody who asks. And about two-thirds of the people would go, I'd immediately change the subject. But another one-third were interested, and I had people slipping papers under my doors in the hotels with some information, like, you need to know about this or you need to know about that.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's really exciting, when I had no problem just telling people, yeah, this is what I do, because I feel great about it. And I think most people, if they knew the purpose, which is to help us all transform and live richer, fuller lives, then they would support my work. And it's amazing. We have some very staunch Republicans, some born-again Christians, all that sort of stuff who support our work because they see what we're doing. We're not about making anybody bad or wrong. We're about building up everybody and making a better world for all of us.
You know, that's interesting. It's all interesting. It's reminding me of my father, who did what he had to do while he was raising us, what he thought he had to do and the way he thought he had to do it. And I don't know about other parents, but in the case of my father, I know in my heart that there was love behind everything that he did, even though sometimes he got out of hand or out of control or whatever, and couldn't control himself and kind of went into a rage. But it started with love, at least. That was his intention. And years later, when I would share some of the things that he did, because I was still dealing with them and I was hurt still, he stopped me and a tear came to his eye and he says, "That doesn't feel good when you share that."
Mm.
And I knew that it didn't. And I knew that it no longer served. And what are you going to do? At that point, he was sick, and what a foolish thing to try and beat him up at that point in any which way. And so maybe we're there now. It's a foolish thing to try and beat anybody up for what they thought they had to do, whether or not there was love in it. We got our life to live, and we want to live it beautifully and lovingly, right, Fred?
Yeah, a key piece is that if we can realize that we don't need to be afraid of the, 2012, the world's going to end, or, the economic collapse. Guess what? If the economy collapses, we can do like Argentina did. Everybody comes together and creates all these trade barter stations. I don't know if you know what happened in Brazil 10 years ago. It was amazing. Their bank system completely collapsed. Even the middle and some of the rich people had no access to their funds. And all of these barter markets opened up all over, and people were just amazingly open and friendly, and it helped to transform Argentina in some ways, and that could totally happen here. So we don't need to worry. We're taken care of.
Mm.
And so I think it's the fear, and, fear is what a lot of people carry, a lot of fear, and that's what's reflected back to us in the media and some of the government stuff. And when we transform that fear in ourselves, I think we will see it reflected outwards. And as more and more of us do that, we'll see more and more love and caring in the media. And I think it's happening already. I mean, look at us. We're talking here on the Internet. This never could have happened 10 years ago.
Hmm. Hmm. Wow. This is so great. I feel like I know you. That's
yep.
I think I would have been able to pick you out at the White House, too.
Yeah.
You know, talking about fear, it reminds me how so many people say, well, I have to do this because when I'm older, blah, 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 or I don't want to do this, but I'm doing it because one of these days, and it's kind of like us saving for a rainy day and not living our life in the sun because we're saving for a rainy day.
Yeah. Well, you have to look at your purpose and motive behind everything you do, and, you know, when you get really clear on your priorities, on your deeper purpose in life, on your intentions, then you can move from those places and everything is done more consciously. And this is what I have found in my life, because it's been a long journey for me, and I'm 51 now, and I've been on a spiritual path my whole life, but believe me, when I was 20, I had nowhere near the knowledge and wisdom that I've accumulated now, and it's just been a rich journey, but it's because I've gotten clearer and clearer on my life intentions and follow them now really clearly, and it's wonderful. I love my life.
Hmm. Now, how many people can say that with that much passion and fervor?
It's pretty fun, I'll tell you, when you start getting into it. And then you start attracting people like that to yourself, too, you know, as you shift and you start meeting some wonderful people. I meet so many amazing people these days. It just blows me away.
And what are you getting? What is the sense that you're getting from these people that are blowing you away?
The sense is, it's back to that thing I was talking about, the spiritual conspiracy. It's like we all somewhere know in our souls that this is all a part of this divine play, you know, and it's when you get that, there's a part of you that can almost laugh and smile with each other. There's all this chaos, seeming chaos going on around, and yet we connect and we realize we remember who we are on those deeper levels. We know our intentions. And so we can smile and radiate this essence together. This is the spiritual conspiracy, even as its seeming chaos is engulfing the world. And I really don't believe it is, but it can seem that way.
Mm. You know, when you mentioned this play, it reminded me of a play. I've done acting on stage, and we put on a costume and we go out and do things to each other. We'll even kill each other on stage or whatever it is. And then we leave the stage and then we take off our costumes and we go have drinks with our friends that we were just killing on stage.
Right. Yeah, maybe life is really like that. Maybe that's what happens when we die. Do you know about Danyon Brinkley? He's got an amazing story. You know, he had a near-death experience.
Right. Right.
Danyon Brinkley was a government assassin who in Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, he was, you know, a sharpshooter who would kill top leaders from, you know, hundreds of yards away. They never knew what hit him. And he had a near-death experience where he said what happened is he had went through this life review and he had to literally experience every feeling that he ever caused in his life.
And that's key, Fred. I want to repeat that because I didn't know that until I don't know when I figured that out, or at least that's how people are sharing it, that every feeling, not that we felt, but through the eyes of the people that we affected.
Yes, exactly. And even, for instance, with Danyon Brinkley, when he killed a certain leader, he not only felt their grief and pain, but all of their family members. So the ripple effects of everything that he did, he felt, and he was just stunned, and he said, oh, my God, I have been so horrible this lifetime. And if he saw that from a detached place, and he had the privilege to be sent back and say, would you like to make up for this? And he said, yes. And he came back a totally changed man and now does amazing work on the planet.
Mm. He was struck by lightning a couple times, right?
Yeah, he's actually had like 3 near-death experiences now.
Right, I think all by lightning. So, you know, God's trying to tell him, somebody's trying to tell him something.
Right, no, and he's not like a great, none of us are great or perfect people, but he's doing amazing work. He's like done 10,000 hours of work in hospice now supporting people moving through the dying process. And
yeah, no, what I meant by that is that sometimes it takes more than we think one would need in order to get the message, right?
Oh, yes, yeah, right.
But yeah. We're going to get the message if we're supposed to.
You know, I love Groundhog Day. Do you remember that movie where the guy had to keep going through things again and again and again until he finally got it kind of right from a spiritual perspective, and then everything transformed?
So the question really is, for all of us, how many times do we want to have to go through this until we get it?
Right, exactly.
And you are helping people get it. Now let's talk briefly about a couple other ways that you're doing it. You actually have courses that are fairly extensive, that people do studies on that are actually free, to help them get to the next level. Let's talk about those real quick.
Sure, yeah. Basically, we've pulled together what we feel like are the best materials out there on the Internet, both from the transformational and love aspect and from the cover-up aspect, and put them all together in a course that can really open people's eyes to the deeper levels of everything that's going on our planet. And you can find these courses. Let me first give the website for, we have a 501c3 nonprofit. So our nonprofit organization is called PEERS. And the website is peerservice.org, PEERSERVICE.org. And you'll find a list there of all of our websites, all of our courses, and you can look at all of the work that I and others working with me are doing. So the courses, we have a course specifically for those who only want to look at the inspiration. It's called the Inspiration Course, and it doesn't go into the cover-ups. We have a course for those because we have many supporters who only want to know about the cover-ups. And so we have what's called the Hidden Knowledge Course. The subtitle is Illuminating Shadow Aspects of Our World. But for those who are open to looking at the whole picture, shadow and light, and then the transcending the polarity, we have both something called the Insight Course and the Transformation Course. The Insight Course is a more secular course. It doesn't go into the spiritual dimensions because we don't want to shut out people who are turned off by spirituality. But for those who are on a clear spiritual path, the transformation course is the one to go to, and it's the one we get the most rave reviews about. It really has some powerful, wonderful, rich transformational materials that will open your eyes, open your mind, open your heart, and allow you to feel more connected with humanity.
Well, this is great. I feel more connected.
Well, I'll tell you, if nothing else, if you just do the practice of going around and seeing that any time you have a judgmental thought of somebody, particularly world leaders, think, that person has a heart, that person was once a baby. And just start doing that practice and see if it doesn't start changing your perception.
Hmm. And the situation, like
right.
We were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Fred, this feels to me, and correct me if you feel differently, but the start of something big for us, and I look forward to connecting with you and connecting you to our audience more and more.
Well, great, Filippo. Yes, I so enjoyed the conversation you mentioned that we had before. Filippo and I just, like, instant connection. It's like, yeah, we're going to know each other. It's like, whoa. So I definitely look forward to lots more.
Well, it's funny because you were saying, well, if you believe that, then let me send you this and let me send you that. And I haven't had time to review any of the information, but I just know that when we get a chance to look at it here at Life Changes, we're probably going to want to talk about that on the show, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're probably going to have you back at least, I don't know, several dozen times.
All right.
So,
whatever, it's right. It's just open up to whatever, you know, spirit calls us to move that direction. That's where we go.
Well, we said that we were going to let that happen today, and we certainly did. Want to remind everybody again that the website is peerservice.org, PEERSERVICE.org. And, you know, my three-dimensional self doesn't want to end the show without, one secret.
One secret.
Give us one secret.
You mean that I learned while I was interpreting, or
absolutely, or that you think is juicier than something that you learned while you were interpreting.
Oh, one of my favorites is I was with the heads of the Marine Corps of head of Marine Corps of Indonesia and head of Marine Corps of the United States about 12 years ago at a private banquet in the home of the General Kulak, who was the head of the U.S. Marine Corps. And there were about four American generals from the Marine Corps, all, you know, three- and four-star generals. And one of the other generals was talking, and this is just informal conversation over a dinner banquet. There's about, you know, maybe 15 people there seated, beautiful candlelight, nice everything, setting. And I'm just sitting there interpreting. But this guy goes and tells the story of going to Indonesia and seeing Indonesian psychic soldiers. And he said it just blew him away. And the psychic soldiers, they would tie blindfolds that he would check around their eyes, and they could ride on motorcycles through obstacle courses completely blindfolded.
Really?
Yeah, he said they took, he took out a coin from his pocket and said, you go out and bury it in this field. It's like a big soccer field. So he walks out into the middle field, buries the coin, walks back, and there's no way he could have gone back and found it. And they sent one of the psycho soldiers, boom, walks out, immediately finds it, immediately picks it up and brings it back. So he was just like blown away, and by the way, I happen to know that we have similar psychic soldiers, but they're kept very, very secret so that even some key generals like this would not even know about it.
Wow. You know, Fred, I can't even do that.
Neither can I. But I do know people who can.
Wow. Well, that just changes all the rules.
Oh, yeah, yep. If you have psychic soldiers out there, you know, watch out. It's a whole different story. Now, the key thing is when these soldiers start getting psychic, the more psychic people get, generally, they start to open up to spiritual realms and connection, and that's where everything starts getting kind of crazy. It's like, oh, some of the deepest levels of what we might call the shadow government are now becoming more and more spiritual.
Interesting.
And they realize if you wanted to have real power, you open up to your spiritual power. And this is happening, I'm telling you, in ways that you would not believe.
Well, true to what we were saying earlier, that we are certainly living up to what we preach. Here I ask you for a juicy, gossipy, conspiracy-type secret, and you share this amazing story that takes us right back to where we are and who we are and what we're about and where we're going. So, Fred, it has been an absolute pleasure. Again, peerservice.org is the website we want to turn you on to, because there you'll also find all the other websites that we've alluded to here on the show. Our guest has been Fred Burks, and we'll be hearing more from Fred if we have anything to do about it. How's that sound, Fred?
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Filippo. It's been a true pleasure and joy. I'm very excited talking with you and your audience, and welcome for the connection.
Looking forward to further connection and for having you meet everybody else on the team here. So have a great evening, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
Ciao, Fred. I hated to hear him go. But we've got more information to come, and that's from our very own Dorothy Lee with the State of the Universe address.
Well, thank you, Filippo, for having Fred as our guest tonight. The world is a much better place because of people like Fred, and I've been a fan for a long time. And he's my friend on Facebook now. So tonight I want to talk about friendship and what being a true friend means. We live in very interesting times with Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, and other websites where we can connect with our friends. Facebook has a limit as to how many friends you can have on an account. That limit is 5,000. So how many friends do you have? I checked my Facebook account just before we started our show tonight, and I can claim I have 750 friends. But is that really true? How many real friends do any of us have? What is a real friend? I'm truly blessed to be able to count my two children as my friends. Filippo is a good friend, and so is Mark Lejeune, one of our producers. I have three wonderful friends who actually get who I am and what I do, and then there are my other friends who just love me anyway, even though they don't really understand me much at all. I have lots of acquaintances who call me friend. So what is the difference between acquaintances and friends? First, an acquaintance is someone whose name you know, whom you see every now and then, whom you probably have something in common with, and whom you feel comfortable around. It's a person that you can invite into your home and share things with. But they are people who you wouldn't share your life secrets with, whose actions sometimes you don't understand because you don't know enough about them. And that's okay, because they are acquaintances. On the other hand, a friend is someone you love. Not that you're in love with them, but you care about them and you think about them when they're not present. They are the people you are reminded of when you see something they might like, such as food, clothes, art, movies, TV shows, music, and many other things. And you know this because you know these people so well. They're the people whose pictures you have and whose faces are in your head a lot of the time. They're the people you see in your mind when you hear a song on the radio because it was playing when you were with them. Friends are the people you feel safe around because you know they care about you. They call just to see how you're doing because a friend doesn't need an excuse. They tell you the truth always, and you do the same. You know that if you have a problem, they are there to listen without judgment and will come running to get you when you crumble and fall. They're the people who won't laugh at you or hurt you, and if they do hurt you, they do their best to make it up to you. They're the people you love, regardless of whether you realize it. They're the people you cried with when you got rejected from colleges and during the last song at prom and at graduation. They're the people that when you hug them, you don't think about how long to hug and who's going to be the first one to let go. Maybe they're the people that hold the rings at your wedding, or maybe they're the people that give you away, or maybe they're the people you marry. That would be wonderful, to marry your best friend. They're certainly the people that cry at your wedding because they're happy or because they're proud. They're the people who stop you from making mistakes and help you when you do. They're the people whose hand you can hold or you can hug or give them a kiss and not have it be awkward because they understand the things you do and they love you for them. They stick with you and stand by you. They hold your hand. They watch you live and you watch them live. And you learn from them, and you grow with them. Your life is not the same without friends. How many do you have? I am blessed to have many good friends and many wonderful acquaintances. I have some people, some precious friends, that I may not talk to more than once a year, and yet when we talk, it's if we spoke just yesterday. The love is always present because true friends live in our hearts forever. I never would have thought that the Internet would bring me real friends, but I was wrong. I'd like to thank my newest best friend, Betty, for finding me on the Internet and blessing me by her presence in my life. I've known of Betty for less than a month and yet know her better than most people in my life, and I love her with all of my heart. After speaking to her twice, I invited her to come see me, and she did. Here we were, me in California and Betty in New York, and I'm so grateful that the Internet brought us together. Thank you, Betty, for four of the most special days of my life, and I look forward to many years of friendship. I encourage all of our listeners to express gratitude for all of the true friends in your life and know that friends are the greatest blessings we can ever have. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you've been looking for. Choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making truly elegant choices. And never forget that you are powerful beyond measure and that you are loved. You are lovable, and you are loved.
Wow. Thank you, Dorothy. And I think it's really special that you thanked me for having Fred on the show. And, of course, I guess I get final approval. I guess if I really didn't want to do an interview with somebody, I wouldn't. But I wasn't the one who got Fred, actually. It was her. So we should thank her. And, I just didn't know him. I didn't have time to look at the websites and the little that I saw, and I said, oh, it sounds like conspiracy and we don't want to talk negative stuff on the show. And she wrote back, she says, no, look at it. And I did. And Fred is on the show. So thank you, Dorothy. And thank you, Fred Burks, again for being with us. And we look forward to yet another exciting interview next week. In the meantime, I am so grateful that we are doing this and so grateful that we are all together in this, as Fred was with us and as Dorothy and Mark and I are together in this, and so many people that are coming together to make a difference in the world and be the change that they wish to see. So remember, we do this once a week right now, but let's keep the conversation going during the week. by visiting us and writing us on our website and on our, at our Facebook fan page and on our personal Facebook pages for that matter. Remind you also that today's show has been made impossible by our sponsors, IonWay's Water and Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. So to learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their respective links. Again, I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure and honor being of service by hosting Life Changes today. I, along with our segment hosts and our producers, Dorothy Lee and Mark Legere, and our engineer, Seth, thank you for joining us in being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in this beautiful world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechanges.ws. Also, you can follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, Life Changes.